let that just resonate in you. As the word comes forth, it's going to just make it even more relevant to you. Hallelujah. God's doing something behind the scenes. And when the curtains open, see how you walk forth. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God who's the head of my life, to our deacons, mothers, everyone in their respective places. I am truly thankful to stand before you and preach God's word. Amen. Amen. Me and we had a great time. We fellowshiped with True Light, with their men. They have the same time frame that we have with our men's ministry. So we went and we fellowshiped with them, man. I'm telling you, we had such a great time, man. We were so comfortable and relaxed. Honestly, I lost track of time. That's how wonderful it was. I wasn't looking at my watch or anything. I was just thankful to just be among God's people, and we just talking about the Lord. And man, that was just really a wonderful experience for me, just fellowshipping with the brothers, you know, and thankful for everyone, the men that showed up. And man, I know I took my son Jeremiah with me as well. He enjoyed himself because he got a chance to eat donuts. And man, I lost track of that. I didn't lose track of time, but I did lose track of how many donuts he had. I was like, man, I mean, that brother was like, he was putting them away. Boy, if his mother was there and saw that, I'd be in trouble, y'all. I'd be staying in that little playhouse they got in the backyard. That's where I would have stayed the night at. Saw how many donuts he ate. But he was loving it as well. Amen. Amen. But I thank God he was right there with me. And I spent a lot of time with him on yesterday without his baby sister interfering. Amen. She knows she can interfere. Amen. Amen. Just want to take attention away. Amen. She's an attention stealer. Amen. And she is great at it. Amen. Had a chance to spend time with just him and I in the backyard. Even had the nerve to try to race him. Amen. That little boy got some speed on him. And man, I had to go in awe of myself. I'd say, hold up now. I said, hold up now. I said, this boy, I gave him a little bit of a gap, you know, so he can, you know, don't want to, you know, just dominate the boy. But yeah, but that little boy took off. Man, I was trying to catch him and he was gone. I said, hold up now. I got to get the jets all up. Look, I ain't ran like that in a long time, but thanks be to God. And then he made up his own game. Y'all know how that's like. And man, he told me to go around this tree and then that playhouse and then get to it. I go around that tree, he cut. And I said, okay, that's how you want to do it. So I'm following the rules. He didn't follow it. He went, and so I just said, oh, you ain't going to play by the rules, so I cut. And he said, you cheated. I'm the one that cheated, but he's the one that cut first. Amen. But I had to tell him, I said, okay, let daddy need a little break. Let's just pause here for a moment. Daddy need a little break. So then we rolled around the subdivision. Then Jeremiah gets off his bike. I said, what's wrong with you? I'm tired. I said, boy, if you don't get back on this bike so we can get home. He said, I'm tired. You want a motorized bike that'll take him around. Man, we rode our bikes from sun up to sundown. Even went and found a dog that would chase us. Hey, man, y'all ever had that? Had the dog, you can see his eyes underneath the truck. Looking. You're like, there he is, y'all. He looking. I even had two people on the bike. You know, like, hey, he getting close. Man, that was some fun back in the day. But I thank God that I had the opportunity to just spend with just him. Amen. Father and son. Amen. That's what we need. Amen. Children, you all are staying in. So you're here with me. Jeremiah, not my son. Amen. He goes around telling everybody he's a prophet. Amen. People at school, you know he said he's a prophet. I'm like, well, at least he's paying attention. Amen. He going around the school saying that he said I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet. Well, he's speaking. I ain't gonna mess with it, you know. But I was like, okay, Jeremiah. But we talking about the weeping prophet in the Bible. We ain't talking about the 6-year old. Amen. Jeremiah 32:15. Amen. I gave y'all one scripture. Y'all know what that mean? We need a mute button. We need a mute button for mother back there. It ain't working up here. Brother Pittman, hit that mute button for us, man. He gonna talk to you after service. You trying to get somebody in trouble. I was with you till you said that, Pastor. All right. Now that I got you all loose, y'all ready? Amen. Jeremiah 32:15. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Amen. Emphasis on again in this land. Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. I just want to talk to you all this morning about hope. Hope just means better days ahead. Amen. Amen. I know that we all are familiar with the word hope. We say things like, I hope you feel better. I hope you have a healthy baby. I hope to get an A in this class. I hope she likes me, or hope she likes me, or he likes me. We all use the word hope. Every day we use that small word. It's tough, basically, to live without it. Amen? As I said before, just minutes ago, hope is a vision for better days. Amen. And that changes us in the present. So there is something, in other words, that we can look forward to. So basically, I read that verse, and I asked that you all read this chapter. When you get home, you in your study, I don't want to make you all any lazy Christians, but I want you to understand that I want you all to go home and read this. There's a reason why I'm saying this, because this particular verse, because there was a situation that was going on, and I'm going to get into it, that Jeremiah had hope. Amen? He had hope for. I mean, in my Bible at the top, it says Jeremiah buys a field. I'm going to get to that. But God came to Jeremiah and said, you know, let's back up a little bit here. He said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now let's fast forward. Jeremiah is still a leader, spiritual leader for his community. But the nation right now, as we speak in this chapter, the nation is in a crisis situation. Very terrible situation. The king of Babylon and his troops have surrounded their city, the city of Jerusalem, setting up a deadly siege, leaving the people inside of Jerusalem on the brink of starvation. Zedekiah, the king of Israel, still thinks he can beat the Babylonian army, beat King Nebuchadnezzar, if he just keeps fighting. Jeremiah tells the king, hey, man, he's a prophet of God. He's telling him, hey, man, it's over. It's over. The rest of the spiritual, the rest of the leaders, in other words, the false prophets, are saying to the king that Jeremiah is a liar. These false prophets are saying, hey, king, Jeremiah is a liar. So they keep telling the king exactly what he wanted to hear. How many of you all are at that situation in your life sometimes where you want people to tell you what you want to hear? I ain't going to probably get no amens on that, but that's just the way that it is. Sometimes we go to people who's going to tell us what we want to hear. And if you don't tell us what we want to hear, guess what? We don't want to have anything to do with you. I ain't talking to her no more. She done lost her mind. Or he done lost his mind. We want people to tell us what we want to hear. So these false prophets is telling this king what they want, what he wants to hear. And that is, you can do it. Keep on fighting. Now, here's the thing. We always think that what we're doing is the right thing. But Jeremiah was trying to tell him that this thing has now went from a military situation to a spiritual situation. So this is why he's telling him, give up, it's over. This is no longer a military situation, man. This is a spiritual thing that we're dealing with. Too many times we are looking at things from a natural, and we need to start looking at it from a spiritual perspective. This is why he's going to the king and saying, hey, man, it's over. It's over for this reason. God has now placed his judgment upon the people. Why? Because the people were not living according to God's law. So now the punishment is at hand. So he was telling them, there's no way you're going to stop God's judgment. So he's trying to tell him, but the people were saying, no, king, you need to get rid of him. You need to throw Jeremiah in jail. You need to get rid of him. This dude is a liar. So King Zedekiah didn't like the message. So he arrested Jeremiah and threw him into jail. So as Jeremiah sits in prison, persecuted and misunderstood, all Jeremiah has is hope. Amen. Sometimes as believers of Christ, no matter how bad the situation may be for us, no matter how bad we're dealing with things, come on now, all we have is hope. Hope is just for better days ahead. So hope is always dependent on the reliability of the one who makes the promises, which is God. Hope is never based on our wishful thinking or positive feeling or even how much faith we have. Hope is based on a God who is active in our lives. God who have who's been good to us and who's doing a work in us. Hope provides us with a vision of God's future. Hope causes us to risk, which is exactly what Jeremiah did. While the Babylonian army was hammering away at Jerusalem, Jeremiah knew that the army would soon break through those walls and conquer the city and haul everybody off to exile. So the situation at that time to Jeremiah looked hopeless. Amen? So the prophet did an unthinkable thing. When all the citizens were discouraged and doomed, and that was destruction was about to happen, Jeremiah took his last that he had, money, I believe it was 7 shekels or whatever back then, that's what they call it, and bought a piece of ground. He himself was a prisoner and couldn't even go and look at the ground, but he bought a lot, amen, to say the promises of God always holds. Amen. Went out and bought a piece of property as if to say, I know what God's word said. I know it don't look good now, but I'm holding on to this. And reminded me of a situation years ago. A lot of people, there was a time in East St. Louis where there was like 70,000 people. Amen? 70,000 people. Now I think it has dwindled down to probably about close to maybe 30 or 25,000. But there's people that are still holding on to lots in East St. Louis. I mean, to tell you, you can't. I mean, it ain't nothing but, if y'all know what I mean when I say this little shotgun house, and some of those lots ain't nothing but little shotgun, it ain't nothing to them, just a little strip. But they holding on to it. Why? Because they have hope that that city will be back the way that it used to be. They have that hope. So we have people that are still paying for their property tax because they believe that that city will soon turn back around and be the way it once was. So this is what Jeremiah is doing here in the Bible. Even though they come in and taking over this city, they're getting ready to take them all off to exile. Jeremiah goes to a real estate agent and says, I want to buy a piece of property. Well, real estate agent comes to him. And, you know, they say it's a sucker born every minute or whatever second. But here it is. Jeremiah purchased his last money that he has on a piece of property. That's confident in saying, I know God. I know God's word. You know what I'm saying? Many of us sold our property in East St. Louis. We like, man, this city is done. It ain't happening. It ain't nothing going on. You can have it. God had promised to Moses that they were always own this land. Isn't that something? That's God's word. Y'all gonna always own this land. Then suddenly it seemed like they would no longer own that land, and the promise of God was forgotten. Now, hopeless moments. The prophet buys a piece of property. Can you imagine that? How many of you would do that today? Don't raise your hand, because I know you would, and you just won't tell nobody. So why would Jeremiah buy a piece of property in a time like this? When the Babylonians break down the city walls and start coming in and taking people off and looting and everything. So he buys this piece of property because, number one, I believe God told him to. Sometimes God make you do things that people like, hey, man, that don't make no sense. God takes the foolish things to confound the wise. So it's not going to make sense to us. Amen? So why would God say, buy some land? Keep in mind, this is a prophet. Buy some property or speak to him spiritually to purchase this land. God has something in mind. God has I'm going to tell you, if you really watch God and you study him, he has a way of doing things. Sometimes it'll make you laugh, make you want to go slap somebody. You know, and be like, man, God, it sure is funny. It make you want to go pop somebody. Notice I keep going over there because I want to just pop. Sometimes you just want to go and pop. So Jeremiah buys the field, hoping to come back to live in that field as God has promised. God had given him a promise of better days. He had said that the captivity would end and the people will return to the land. Listen in verse 15. For thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. In other words, God said, I'm going to build up new subdivisions. in this land that you're looking at that says that it is destroyed, it is hopeless, it is no good. God is saying, I'm looking at me doing something in the future here at this very property. So Jeremiah put into practice. See, if you have hope, if you hold on to God's promise of better days, if you trust that Jesus is the righteous one, it has to work itself into your life. No matter what people say to you, and I'm going to tell you something, you got some very convincing people. But if you hold on to God's word, regardless of what people may say or what people may do, if you hold on to what God has spoken to you, this is why you shouldn't share everything with everybody, because everybody is not on the same page. Amen? Amen. You don't believe me? Just look at Joseph. His brothers weren't on the same page with him. They tried to destroy him. But Paul says that we can rejoice in our suffering because we are a people of hope. We are a people of hope. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, not knowing that the suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which is what he has given us. So how can we hope when everything looks hopeless? In the midst of suffering, we can rejoice because these challenges causes us to rely on God's presence. Amen. Rejoicing in suffering does not mean that we celebrate when bad news comes, but it does mean that we can believe that God is doing a redemptive work. The word redemptive means that God does not waste a hurt or a disappointment in your life. You all have to believe that this morning. I can preach it, I can tell you many different ways, but you got to believe in your spirit that God can take the hurt and the disappointments in your life and work it for your good. Y'all understand that? We can't always choose our life circumstances, but we can choose our response to them and trust God with the story we've been given. God is using them to shape and build us into the image of Jesus, which is the highest position you or passion you could ever want. Right. Amen. So we need to understand that when we go through suffering, we should pray and seek God more than any times before in our lives. One of the greatest times of growth should be when we reach the end of our resources. And all we have left is Jesus. Amen. God uses suffering to make us rely on his presence. Amen. He don't use suffering to make us run away from him. That is for us to rely on him. We live and move because of God. If God didn't wake you up this morning, trust me, you wouldn't have turned over. It wasn't your alarm clock that you think it is. It is not your habit of getting up in the morning. It is God that is touching you and saying, get up. Now, I know we are convinced that the alarm clock is loud. Yeah, I agree with you that it is loud, but it ain't what woke you up. Maybe God doesn't change our situation because he wants to give those hard circumstances time to change you. Amen. Sometimes you got to look at how it's supposed to work. I'm convinced that God isn't done until we are redone. Amen. Sometimes we got to get to the point where we're redone. Amen. Amen. Change from the inside out. Amen. Some of us, we need that change. When you ask God to change your circumstances, you can also ask him to change you as well while you're asking him. God, change my situation. And then say, and in the process, change me.
want God to change our circumstances, but we leave out that part, change me. So why, when you say, God, change my circumstances, and there's an and, change me. In the meantime, while you wait. Sometimes when hard things last way too long, our hearts can get hard or angry. Sometimes we feel like we are the only ones who suffers. Nobody else been through anything, y'all. They're the only ones that's been through something. Isn't that how that works when you talk to people? They are like they're the only ones that suffer. Now, let me tell you, if you look real close, you'll see you in line. Amen? And don't be trying to jip. Amen? I like you the only one that suffer. I ain't never been through nothing. I just been floating on through right since this point. No, it don't work that way. God doesn't allow the difficult trials and situations to stay in your life to make you hard and angry. A hard heart is worse than a hard circumstances you face. Amen? God is trying to make your life miserable. God is always in the process of finishing what he has started. It ain't like those projects we have at home that we got half a room painted, half a shed built. Amen. The boards are rotten on you. Now you got to go get some new boards. Amen. God is not like that. He who began the work will finish it. Amen. If you will allow him. So we need to allow him to do that. Now, the other thing we need to do in our hope with Christ, we need to rely on God's provision. See, we are meant to depend on God for provision. Amen. My children are meant to rely on me for provision. Amen. I'm taking care of them. So they rely upon me for provision. They have no financial knowledge or anything. They just figure daddy can just whip it out and there it is. No, they don't realize that. They just know that daddy will provide. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to get to the point where we are relying upon him. The miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 people is an example of God providing when our means seem inadequate. God delights in making up what we lack. Amen? He delights in stuff like that. None of us are self-sufficient. God is the provider. Amen. If you read that story about the 5,000 that he's fed, y'all understand this, that there was leftovers. Amen? Man, that's a blessing. I mean, they had leftovers. So in our current situation, God is saying to us that his grace is sufficient. And even when we feel weak, he is making us stronger than we have ever been before. So in other words, the hell that you are going through may be the very circumstances God uses to take you to a whole new level. Sometimes you got to think about that for a moment. Many people want to be here, but in order to be here, you got to go through levels. Let me relate this to, I played video games, and the easy levels was just easy. I conquered that. But in order for me, let me just play this. I was playing, there was a video game, you know, Mike Tyson, when he was really popular. And I went through all these boxes that I was going through. But in order for me to get to his level, I had to go through some difficult boxers. You understand what I'm saying? We have levels in life that we're going to have to go through. There are stages that we're going to encounter, that we're going to come to. But we need to understand that it is necessary for you to go through these trials. If you don't go through these trials, God is not like our public school system that will pass you on. God will sit there and say, no, you're going to repeat it and do it again because you haven't learned anything. That's what God deals with. God does not grade on a curve. Amen? I mean, I had the grades were so bad in the room that one time the teacher said, if you got your name on your paper, I give you points for that. Nobody wanted to put their name on the paper. That's how bad the test was. Teacher said, I give you 5 extra points if you got your name on your paper. People passing up papers, there ain't nobody name on it. Y'all think I'm playing? That's for real. That's how bad that pop quiz was. I'm like, this, you ain't put my name on, I was absent. I ain't put my name on that. That bring down my grade point average. Folks trying to get a scholarship. She trying to fail us. No, God is, let me tell you this. That's what we think God is trying to do. We think God is trying to fail us. God is not trying to fail us. God is trying to prepare us for what is getting ready to come. He's trying to tell you that this devil ain't finna play with you. Why you think the military take people through boot camp? They letting them know that their enemy, once he gets you, he's going to tear you up. Most people can't even make it out of boot camp. They're like, man, did you ever say gas chamber ain't no joke? You understand what I'm saying? They ain't calling mama. Mama, you got to send a letter, something, come get me. Get me up out of here. Woo, I can't take it. This is serious business. Because when that enemy gets a hold of you, the enemy is not going to play with you. So God is saying you must go through this. Otherwise, if everything is so easy for you, you're going to think that the devil's going to be easy with you. That's why he told Peter, hey, man, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, man. Y'all know what that means? He's talking about knocking you around. So we need to understand that our best days are not behind us if you have hope. Our best days are ahead of us, regardless of our situation or what you've been going through. I'm telling you, your best days are ahead of you. It's important to recognize that God's word cannot fail. I mean, this man bought some property in the middle of chaos. Y'all don't understand that, do you? God is, you have to understand something. God is not taken by surprise. His word produces results always, and it is not subject to circumstances. Oh, I got in this situation. God didn't know nothing about that. Yes, he did. There's a reason why you in there, because God knew it was coming. And God knows that you're prepared for it. Why do you think he said, have you considered Job? Because he knew that Job ain't just serving me just for materialistic things. Job is worshiping me. God releases his word despite the circumstances that we may be facing. And it is because he knows the thoughts and the plans he has already made for us. God already knows. So when God sends his word out, trust me, his word is going to go and it's going to do exactly what it said for it to do. It is not going to come back to him until it has accomplished what he has said for it to do. I mean, when I say to my son, when I put the word out there to tell my daughter to come here, when he takes my word, he is carrying it with him. And my word reaches my daughter, and she hears the word, and guess what my word does? It takes her and it brings her to me. Y'all don't say what I'm saying? I spoke my word. My son took my word. When he took my word, he went to where I said for it to go. When he reached his destination, it grabbed that individual and then walked her into my presence. Why? Because I had a word for him. Y'all need to understand something. When God speaks a word over your life, I don't care. Ain't no devil in hell can take you away from God's word. Come on now. We are serving an awesome God. You ain't serving me. I'm just speaking God's word. I'm trying to tell you that when God's word goes forth over your life, believe me, going to accomplish what he said for it to accomplish. I don't care about the chaos that's going on. If God said for you to go to Iraq, that is the safest place for you to be. Why? Because his word is right there with you. It's like this jacket I'm wearing. It is covering you. You all need to understand God's word. Can't nobody dethrone him. He's still sitting on the throne. You can't move him. You can't shake him. You can't impeach him. God's word will bring to manifestation that which he has intended for us. God's word always accomplished and prospered in the purpose for which it was released. That's God's word. I can't say it no plainer than that. God specializes in declaring his counsel in the face of contrary situation, overriding the schemes of the enemy. God's word can override anything. Y'all never had, you know, I have bosses, you know, and they can override stuff. Y'all understand what I'm saying? There's claims that come in. And when claims come in, you know, they may have denied. But guess what? They can override it with what? Their word. All they have to do is speak their word, and this claim will be lifted up, and it will be now payable. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Do y'all understand what I'm saying? God's word, no matter what the situation is in your life, when God sends a word, it will override that circumstance. You see what I'm saying? I mean, people, you'll be looking like, man, what just happened here? I can tell you what just happened. God's word just came into the room and it shook things up for you. Don't be acting like you brand new to this. I mean, you heard this before. And if it's happening to somebody that's sitting next to you, that is close to you, guess what? You're next. It's like the popcorn that you put in the microwave. When one starts to pop, the other one begins to pop as well. Why? Because they're next to somebody that's just been blessed. So we need to understand where sin abounds, grace abound even more. Y'all understand that? That is why we must be careful to avoid paying too much attention to what we see. We must be careful about what we are saying. A lot of times we are looking at what we shouldn't be really paying too much attention to. We should be looking at things from a spiritual perspective. We need to understand, like, listen to this. Going back, you know, in Genesis, God saw the chaos and the darkness. And yet, like Minister O'Bannon preached last Sunday, he saw the chaos and the darkness. And yet, with his words, called light into existence. He spoke not what he saw, but what he wanted to see. Y'all understand what I'm saying? He spoke not what he saw, but what he wanted to see. What he wanted to see was light. Some of you all are in a situation, you're speaking what you're looking at instead of speaking what you want to see. God did not speak the problem, but he spoke into manifestation what he wanted to see. You all need to understand that. Refuse to say what you are seeing and begin to confess what you want to see. What you want to look at. Stop letting the devil mess with your mind. Stop letting everybody else tell you what you're looking at. I know what I see, but that ain't what I want to see. That's why the servant had to say, hey, I hope your eyes be open that you see what I see. Make sure your words line up with the word of God. You know what I'm saying? Y'all need to understand, sometimes, you know, you got to take your vehicle in to get an alignment because it's not running properly. The same way with us. A lot of us are not balanced. Amen? If you go to the chiropractor, you'll find out that you ain't in line like you thought you was. The same it is with God's word. Some of us ain't in line like we think we are. We think we are in line. But when you start speaking God's word and you ain't speaking it like you're supposed to speak it, you ain't in line right. You need to get proper alignment with God's word. And when you are in proper alignment with God's word, what you're looking at don't mean anything because you're listening to what God is speaking to you. God raised a prophet. He raised a prophet to declare his counsel to the Israelites. Jeremiah said, I declare that there is hope for the future. Jeremiah was not speaking in accordance with what he could see. He saw beyond the pain and the disappointment that everybody is going through. He saw past that. Instead, he looked into the future and he was able to see hope. Jeremiah saw that there was something to hope for in the future of the Israelites. Your future is not empty. Your future is loaded and bright. The church right now is in a similar position as the Israelites in exile. We have not reached the end of our journey. Our future as individuals, as a body, a corporate body, and the future of our man of God is full of hope. For this reason, we look at today and acknowledge that although today is not great, we can by faith give God thanks that today is not all that we have. We have a future. We have not only that, a glorious future. There is hope for restoration. We need to believe that and we need to walk like that. Our best days are not behind us. Our success and achievement of the past are nothing in comparison to what lies ahead. Y'all don't understand what I'm telling you. The Bible says eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all of the good things that God has in store for us. God has prepared a place for us. God says that he has prepared a place for us. With God, there is so much things that we can hope for. We don't have to live in a hopeless situation. Amen? As long as you hold on to God and hold on to his word, you will make it to your destination. Amen? If you think about it, to call a situation hopeless, listen to what I'm telling you. To call a situation hopeless is an insult to God. That's disrespectful. You know why? Because you're saying that God, you're incapable of turning this situation around. It's an insult. Remember what Minister O'Bannon said last Sunday when God asked Ezekiel. He said, can these bones yet live? He said, Lord, you know. You're asking me something you know. Lord, you know. God instructed him to speak to the bones, and the bones responded. Many times our problems stem from us having given up on God and thus allowing the enemy to have his way. The valley of the dry bones is evidence that God can bring about restoration notwithstanding the most circumstances. Nothing about your life is hopeless. I don't care what you're going through. Some people act like their situation is bigger than any situation that has ever existed on this planet. They are like, nobody. No. You don't understand. You don't understand what I'm going through. I'm telling you this, this, and that. And when you get done telling me all that, you ain't got nothing compared to what God can do for your situation. I don't care how much detail or what you say. I don't care when you get done saying that ain't nobody on this planet has ever gone through anything like this. Well, I got news for you. God specializes in that area, too. We have to understand that he's a specialist. Amen? When the main doctor can't do it, they send them off to a specialist who specializes in that area. Sometimes, you know, you got to go to a specialist. But I'm telling you, God specializes. That's another title that he has. Abraham remembered the promise of God. I have made you a father of many nations. I have made you. That's past tense. That's past tense. Abraham was advanced in age. His wife was well in age. But God said, I made you a father of many nations. Matter of fact, every time they say your name, Abraham, they're going to speak my promise. That's how bad God is. God said, every time they say your name, they're going to speak my word with what I said to you. So every time I hear your name, I'm hearing my promise. Abraham refused to let hope fade. In Jeremiah 29:11, y'all know it said, for I know the plans that I have for you. In other words, let me translate this. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out for you. Let me translate it to some of y'all in a little more slang where you can understand it. That's God saying, I know what I'm doing. Y'all ever have kids to try to tell you, you know, the grown kids is in your house trying to tell you what to do? You have to tell them, I know what I'm doing. You have to remind them who you are. They forget. My mother had to tell me a couple of times. That's why I had to move out. She said, you better ask somebody who I am. You forget? Obviously, I did a little bit. She said, you better ask somebody who I am. She had to remind me. Sometimes, you know, God had to say, hey, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I got this. At this time, the Israelite nation had been taken into captivity and were in exile. They were pretty much done, gone. But God still says, I know the plans I have for you. In a bad situation, taken off by the enemy, in exile, ready to be killed. Everything that we're going through is a part of God's plan. Jeremiah lives by the promise of God. See, as you're a Christian, you have to live by the promise of God. Jeremiah, it was based on, see, the reason why, let me say this, the reason why Jeremiah was able to live by the promise of God is because, see, he remembered God's track record. How many of you all know that you got to reflect back on the track record? I mean, you were and I didn't put the scripture up there, but in Joshua chapter 24, 16 and 17, let me read this to you. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Remembering who did this for you. Sometimes, you know, we forget, you know, when folks do stuff for us. And then when it's time for us to go back to them, you ain't never did nothing for me. Y'all know people like that? We have people like that. They forget. Memory plays one of the most important functions in order for us to be truly human. The inability to remember the past invites chaos into the present and means an uncertain future without a meaning. It's helpful in our battle to remember God's track record. He has proven himself in each of our lives. I need to remember that when we get to a point in our lives where we are at a situation, we need to remember what God has done. Man, we need to reflect back on what he has done for us. David went up against Goliath, not because he was feeling particularly giant that day, but he remembered God was with him when he was eye to eye with the bear. Amen. And he also remembered that God was also with him when he was with that lion. David's trust needed to be in the right place in God. This is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Your trust needs to be in the right place. In other words, you need to remember God's track record. You need to remember what God has done. The Israelites told Joshua that they didn't want to trust any other God except for the God of Israel, who brought them out of slavery. Some of those people that gave that prompt, that response, might have even witnessed God's hand in their escape from the Egyptian firsthand, while the others may have heard about it through relatives. But they still believed in the power of God. Amen? So I don't want you to get it twisted here. But I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I make a purchase, sometimes I look at the reviews. The biggest reason why reviews are important to business is that ultimately it increases the sales by the consumer with the information that they need to make a decision to purchase the product or service from a business. Listen to where I'm getting at here. The reason why it's important to check God's track record, it will increase your confidence to make a decision to follow the Lord. And what God has done in the past, know that he can certainly do this again. See, we need to understand, I know many times when we want to go somewhere, when we want to do something, we get online and we start checking the reviews. And when we want to buy a product, we get online and we want to see what other people are saying about this product before we make a purchase. What I'm trying to get you to say is that you, being a child of God, there are people who are unsaved around you that need to hear how good God has been to you. In order for them to make a decision on whether they want to walk with the Lord. But based on your review that you give them and what they see in you when you are in your situation and your circumstances will determine whether or not they want to make a purchase, whether or not they want to make a confession to Christ. But it's up to you who are walking in the light to show those who are not in the light that when they make this purchase, that when they look at this review, that they can see a man walking upright, praising God in the midst of anything, walking with God. Even though I don't have a dime in my pocket, but I'm still walking like I'm rich. You need to understand that people are going to look at you for a review and make a decision whether they're going to give their life to Christ. Sometimes, you know, let me say this. Sometimes we don't always trust the reviews that we hear people say. Because I know I don't. Because some people will say stuff just to keep you from getting to where you need to be. So even though you don't give a good review, I'm watching your lifestyle. I'm watching what's going on around me. And I can see for myself that there's got to be hope for better days ahead. I know that this is not all that it's going to be. I know that there is hope for the future, because the Bible says that eyes have not seen, nor have the ears heard of all of the good things that God has in store for us. You know why it's good to reflect on God's track record? Because reminders help us to keep ourselves on track with what God has done. I know your testimonies help me when I'm going through something. Sometimes y'all always, you know, people always want you to preach to them, pour yourself out to them. But I need to hear from you. I need to know that I'm not the only one that's experiencing this goodness of God. I know that I'm not the only one that's walking this faith. I know I'm not the only one. So I need to hear from my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need to hear from you that our daddy is good and that our daddy is still on the throne. Let me tell you something. Those who fail to remember the past are doomed to repeat what they've been through. That's why I'm always reminding myself, God, I remember when I came to this situation before. I know how you brought me out. I know when I came to this one. I know how you brought me out. I know when I came to that one. I know how you brought me out. You know, sometimes we gotta set up a memorial. We have to go back to when we first got saved. You know how it was when you first got saved. Nobody can tell you anything about God. Nobody can keep you from coming into church. Nobody can keep you from singing in a choir. Nobody can keep you from preaching God's word. Nobody. Now I know why James Cleveland said nobody. Nobody. God gave us this. He gave us this written word. Y'all know what this written word is? It's his track record. It shows you from Genesis to Revelation what he has done. And it shows you repeated performance of when the enemy came to his people. That's why Jesus said, when Satan stepped to my daddy, I saw lightning fall from heaven. He stepped to him, but he sure enough got knocked out. Now, that's what Jesus said. That's in the word. Because if Jesus saying that, Jesus said, in other words, it was quick. You know, I just use my own imagination. Jesus looked and saw Satan stepping to his daddy. Uh-oh. There he goes. It didn't take long. Dropped him. Just like that. Amen? Dropped Satan. Satan is no match to God. The Bible says he fell like lightning from heaven. I mean, I saw a bunch of lightning the other day. I said, oh, there's some devils they got kicked out. I said, oh, there's another one. In my mind, I'm like, oh, there's another devil. Now when y'all see lightning, y'all gonna say, oh, them devils getting knocked out. Amen.